Have you ever been in a situation that was not a good situation and you felt like things would never end, things would never change for the better, but then suddenly they did? That's what this lesson is about, and this morning I want us to look at Psalm 30, and we'll take our scripture from verse 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Before we get into that lesson, I want to welcome everyone. Again, we have several families from here that are vacationing this week. We have visitors. We're thankful for your presence, and it's good to see everyone out this morning. Let's start by reading through Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks to the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that your glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. As we go through this psalm, there are several different contrasts that we will see, and we'll get into those. This psalm, Psalm 30, is a psalm of thanksgiving. This section I have on the bulletin, I had the one on praise. When we look at some Thanksgiving psalms, if you keep the bulletin, it's basically an outline of for you to go through those psalms as you're studying them. They were normally a part of formal worship. They were usually offered by a person who had received some specific blessing from God and who is now coming to offer thanks, probably with relatives and friends. And this type of psalm would usually have the following elements. It had an introduction in which the person acknowledged that he has suffered in the past and has had general misfortune. Next, there's a discussion of why he is now before God praising Him. Why is he praising God? Because God has delivered him. And then a concluding word of praise because of His care and love, because he recognized the good hand of God in his life. And again, with a lot of these psalms, sometimes this is called an envelope or envelope, because the beginning and the end are the same, and then the message envelops the body. So Psalm 30, I didn't read the introduction. It says, a psalm, a song of the dedication of the house of David. Some think that this may be referring to David's personal house. Some think it may be referring to the temple. Either one of those views would fit well with this psalm. And you just stop and think about this, though, for a minute. David is having this song of dedication, this psalm, for a house, whichever house you take it to be. And have we ever stopped to think to do that for our own house, to dedicate our house to the Lord, where we dwell. Our house should be our sanctuary, where we commit our lives, we commit our families, we commit our children to God. You see extremes with houses. Some people don't even have a house to live in. You have some people that have a big house and they view that as one of the trophies in life. Look at this house that I have. Look at how nice it is. It doesn't matter where we live. That space we should commit to God. We should praise Him for that. And again, just thinking of our own house, we commit our house to God. We make it our sanctuary. We keep the world out of it. We keep sin out of it. So verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and has not let my enemies rejoice over me. We see a couple things as we begin with this. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou. God personally lifted me up. There's a relationship. We should all be in that relationship with God, where God, again, personally is involved in our lives. We think of God being some mysterious force or something. I think some people think out there we can't see, just aren't quite sure. But God, if we are His children, He is going to be involved personally in our lives. I extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. And we see God lifted David up, and then David will lift God up. Thou hast lifted me up and has not let my enemies rejoice over me. You stop and think about this, and again, we all have enemies in life. David had physical enemies, people that were out to do him harm, to kill his life. We all have enemies. We may not be able to put a face on some of ours. We know Satan is our enemy. Satan is for sure. O Lord, thou hast lifted me up and has not let my enemies rejoice over me. David recognized that God gave him victory over his enemies, whoever they were, whatever they are. And again, today people may have something that they are involved in or some kind of an addiction that is an enemy to them. But friends, we got to remember, as we study the Psalms, one of the things we see over and over, God is bigger than our enemies. God is more powerful than whatever we are struggling with. And David's praise immediately begins based on God lifting him up. And you stop and think about that. If God lifts him up, that implies that David must have been down. He must have been down. And as we've talked about with the Psalms, we see the full range of emotions. We know at times that David was depressed. He was saddened. He ran for his life. But God is bigger than his enemies, and he lifted him up. David also was not foolish enough to know that the victories that he had were on his own power. He wasn't that foolish. He knew that the victories that he had came from God. It was the Lord who kept the enemies from claiming victory over him. Verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried out to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. As we've been studying in the book of Matthew on Sunday morning, one of the phrases that we would read over and over where someone cried out. And again, remember, God hears our heart when we cry out to God. And we're going to see David, O Lord, my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. Now, when things happen to us in this life, because it's happening all around us, does God put a little bubble around us and protect us from those things that are going on? We all wish he did, but he doesn't do that. But what does God do? When we encounter something that hurts us, something that harms us, God will heal us. For I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. Again, we see the personal aspect appearing in the psalm. The psalmist David did not separate God from the daily events in his life. And that is the way that we should be also. We should, when we wake up, we should recognize that God is with us, or that we are with God going through the day, and have that in foremost on our mind. And some people, again, God doesn't always make life easy for us, but he will heal us. And if we are spiritual people, if we have faith in God, we should praise God even if he does not remove whatever that is in our life. You think about Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but it was something that was a great challenge for him. And he prayed 3 times to God to remove that thorn in the flesh. Did God do it? No. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient. That was the healing that God gave to Paul. There are things that will happen in our life that God is not going to remove from our life. It's something that we are going to go through, but God is going to give us the healing for that. And notice, when we call on him, he will deliver us. And notice again that God did not spare the worshiper from the wound, whatever the wound may be, but he did provide the healing ointment. Sometimes maybe God lets us go through something. Not maybe, he does. He does, all of us. Some sickness, some disease, some illness. Sometimes the sickness or disease, we may not even know what it is. This doctor said this, this doctor said that. We don't know for sure, but we know that God will see us through, and God will provide the ointment for healing us. You hear people sometimes say, you know, I lost my child. Why did God let my child die? Well, you can't always say this to them, but the question is, why did God let his own son die? He didn't spare his own son. He let his own son die on the cross. And if God did not spare his own son, why should we expect him to spare us from some things in this life? That's not who God is. We go through those things that are almost unbearable, but how can we bear them? Because again, God heals us. God is the one that provides the oil for our wounds. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. So God protected David from the depths of Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew counterpart to the Greek Hades, meaning the grave. So it appears that David may have been close to death, something that was life-threatening. Yet David believes that God gave him another day of life, and he was genuinely grateful for what God had done. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. If we are going to sing praises in heaven for time without end, and we are, we had better start singing now. If he desires it in heaven, he desires it now with all our heart. And notice, David isn't singing by himself. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Again, he's inviting other holy people to participate in worship. And as righteous people, as holy people, we should encourage other people to come and join in worship and do righteous things. And here we have another phrase, let us praise the Lord. On what basis? Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. God is holy. He's deserving of worship. His holiness is a memorial to him. Verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. It's been a while, but when we went through Nehemiah, before we went through the book of Nehemiah, I did a sermon based on part of that, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And a lot of people are looking for joy in the wrong places. But a shout of joy comes in the morning. When I think of joy, one of the things I think it's good to compare to is like a balloon that's filled with helium. And what does that balloon want to do? It wants to rise up to the heavens. You take a balloon, you tie that ribbon on it, you let it go. It's just going to keep going up higher and higher and higher. You take that balloon, you put it on the ground, you put your hands on it, you move your hand, it's going to slip out. It's going to go up. That joy is like helium in our life. And it should make us want to rise higher and higher to God, to the heavens. But what is that joy? Again, back to Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. You think of that balloon also that has helium in it that just keeps going up and up. And then sometimes you'll come across one of those balloons where the helium has come out of it, it's lost it, and it's just bouncing along on the ground like that. That's rather sad looking, don't you think? One of those helium balloons just bouncing along. But you know what's sadder? Is when you see a Christian that has lost their joy and they're just bouncing along in life. God is our helper. He's going to lift us up. When we are down, God is our only source of help and strength. And through our whole life, you know, we can think of, I personally can think, and I'm sure you can think of a number of times that you went through something and maybe you thought you were going to die and God lifted us up. One time years ago, we got in the car. We were going to go to John's graduation from boot camp at Fort Leonard Wood. I started driving, got as far as Brookville. Carol took over driving. I was in the back seat, and I hardly remember that trip. I got chills. I had a fever. I felt horrible. She called the doctor back here in Ohio, and we got a prescription out there. I had that happen again. I went to urgent care one time. I had like 102 fever. I had cold chills. And they gave me a couple shots of things. I saw an infectious disease specialist at Wright State Medical Center several times. And I tell you, that I didn't think I was going to live. And I felt so horrible and so out of it. And then even when I started feeling better, I had no feeling then. I was just totally wiped out. But you know what? God lifted me up. And it wasn't like just flipping a switch, but he lifted me up. And God didn't remove that from my life. You know, I had melanoma. I had cancer. And the way I found out about that and the way the the surgeon treated it was very providential. God lifted me up. I don't want to bore you. I could go through a whole bunch of stories. And so could everybody here. We see God working in our lives. And what should we do? We should lift Him up. We should praise Him. And whatever we're going through, it's but for a moment. It's but for a moment. And that favor from God, that joy from God, it's going to be a lifetime. Even if what we are going through our whole life is miserable here for the few short years that we're here, but we live a life for God, we're going to have a lifetime of joy. A lifetime. Some of this I'm going to pass over. It's just more verses that talk about the joy that comes with that. Here's one, Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The struggles that we go through here are just temporary compared to eternity. Paul tells us in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Whatever we go through here, it's just a blink. It's so short. In verse 6, "Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved." Now the scriptures warn us from false security that comes from prosperity. David was not immune to that. And he is thinking, you know, I've got everything I need. I'm prosperous. I'll never be moved. Things aren't going to change. Jeremiah warns in verse 20, or chapter 22, verse 21, "I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice." When we become prosperous, what happens? We usually put our trust in what we have instead of our trust in God. So there's a danger there. A danger thinking that what I have, I'm always going to have it. You know, I worked hard. I earned this. I've got it. I'm going to keep it. We never want to have that mindset. We need to acknowledge whatever we have, God has given to us. It's not ours. We're just stewards of it for a short time. And again, those things in life aren't going to satisfy us. And we see people try to find satisfaction in all kinds of things. They'll go try to accumulate things, accumulate money, go to bars, go to clubs, go here, go there. Do they get satisfaction from it? Yeah, they get a little bit of satisfaction, but it doesn't last because they want to go back again because they haven't found something that satisfies fully. And you see, God has put a thirst in our hearts. He has set eternity in our hearts. And the only things that are truly going to satisfy us, to make us happy, is God. God is the only one that truly satisfies us. Verse 7, "O Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face. I was dismayed." So David recognizes that God is the one that made his mountain strong. Any success that he had was only because God made it strong. He says, "Thou didst hide thy face, I was dismayed." So he recognized that God had given him what he had, but when God turned his face, that was something that troubled David. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Friends, we never want to have God turn his face from us. And we want the face of God to look down and shine on us. And I was thinking of that when I was going through those passages and just thinking of that phrase, the face of God. And don't you want to, you know, this is describing God in physical terms just so we can understand it, because he's not a body that has a face or hands or ears or eyes, but it's just words to convey these thoughts because he's not a physical body. But we can imagine God looking at us with favor and smiling on us. And don't you want to see that? Our Heavenly Father, don't you want to see that smile on his face? And we need that smile. And then I was just thinking too of what's going on all around us in the world, where you see everybody with a mask on their face all day long, kind of dehumanizing, and we don't see smiles. And I'm not talking about God, but just each other. There's something about a smile that is important that we need, that too lifts us up. And when God smiles on us, it's going to lift us up. Verse 8, to thee, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. And again, God hears the cries of our heart. We got to ask ourselves, we wonder, why hasn't God done this for me? Why hasn't he helped me with this? Are we crying out to God? We see over and over with David, he will cry out to God, God will hear, and God will deliver. But it all starts out on our part, crying out. Verse 9, what profit is there in my blood? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise thee? Will it declare thy faithfulness? This sounds sort of like Job. David saying, you know, God, if I'm dead, I'm not going to do you much good. My dust isn't going to praise you. And as long as I live, as David's saying, as long as I live, I will praise God. I can't do that in the grave. So you stop and think about that from verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? When you look at that, it almost seems like there's a primary purpose for us in life. And what is that? Our purpose in life is to praise God and to tell his truth to others. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord. Be thou my helper. Again, we need to pray to God. We need to beg God for his grace and his mercy. And then we need to thank him for it. God doesn't owe us anything. If you think about him owing us anything, the only thing he really owes us is punishment for the sins that we have committed. God doesn't owe us anything. But here David is again crying out, hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. Be thou my helper. David again returns to his words of thanksgiving, acknowledging what God has done for him. He heard him. He was gracious to him. He was his helper. O Lord, be thou my helper. God will do that. David thanks the Lord for these blessings, and he requests that they be continually supplied from the Lord. So when we look at this again, we see these different contrasts. Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Who can do that for us? God can. He turns our sadness, our mourning, into dancing. Thou hast put off sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And again, that may be physical or attire or our face, our countenance. We see the contrast from anger to favor, from a moment, a lifetime, from evening and morning, weeping and joy, mourning and dancing, sackcloth and festive attire. And notice, David does not hide the fact that he has experienced a difficult time. And sometimes we meet so many people and they've experienced something difficult in their life and they're ashamed of it. They don't want somebody else to know what happened to them. David does not hide what happened in his life, but he acknowledges that with the help of God, God delivered him from that. He lifted him up. He exalted him. God used his oil to heal him. And in verse 12, "That my soul may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever." And friends, that should be our mindset also, that we will give thanks to God forever. And if we live pleasing to him, we should be able to enjoy that. Friend, when we look at this psalm and we see another glimpse of God and his holiness, and we understand that we are unclean and we are unholy before a holy God, and we need to be cleansed to be worthy to stand in his presence. How do we get cleansed? Well, that cross provides the path to cleansing. The story of the cross, it tells us how to get there. And the waters of baptism provide the place where we are washed in the blood of Jesus. And then when we are washed in those waters, we come in contact with the blood. He cleanses us. He makes us holy. We're forgiven of our past sins. And we can arise a new man to start living a new life and serving him, singing his praises. And is life going to be easy? Not always. But again, looking at the great invitation of Jesus in the book of Matthew, you know, his burden is light compared to the burden of sin. Because Satan, he's just going to keep adding burden on top of burden on top of burden until he crushes you. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to take those that are his home to him in heaven, and those that aren't his are going to their home with Satan, to a place of eternal punishment. Friends, if you're not enjoying the blessings and protections of God in this life, it's because of your sins. We need to get rid of those sins so that we can call on God as our Father. And he, when we cry out, just like with David, he will deliver us. If you're in sin, you need to make correction. Don't put it off. You need to do it today. Satan's going to tell you, wait and do it another time. You need to do it today. Why don't you do it now and come forward as we stand and sing?